Nate, today is a super exciting day.
I know, Charlie. It is the big reveal.
The culmination of our Song of Summer contest, which we have been slowly revealing over many episodes.
In partnership with Splice, the platform for music creators, we've introduced chord loops and sound packs, and people have made some incredible summer compositions.
Yeah, so stick around to the middle of the episode. We are going to count down the best Song of Summer entries, and we've got a winner in there who's going to win a full year of Splice, which is awesome.
Can't wait. See you there.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And we're back for part two of our Summer Heat series, reviewing our top tracks from the 2000s. And I think if I had to give the crown to only one song and honestly declare a universal song of summer, it would absolutely have to go to Beyoncé's Crazy in Love featuring Jay-Z from 2003. Woo! How do you enjoy this song?
I enjoy it with someone I love on the dance floor, letting loose, I would say, entirely, not caring what anyone thinks because I'm crazy in love.
That's beautiful. Well, I have to say, this track actually really stumped me for a while. I was listening in preparation for our show, and it's just been so lodged in my brain that it kind of took a moment to hear it with fresh ears. But when I broke it down, this is what I heard. So we're trying to figure out, right, what makes this a hot summer track?
Yes.
In particular, carrying on from our discussion on harmonic tension that we brought up in part one of our series. We looked at Nelly and Katy Perry and had this idea of the ways in which chords can make things really tense and hot.
Mm.
So I was looking for heat in this track, and well, here's what I found. So first, you've obviously got the world's most powerful entertainment couple expressing their feelings to each other, and that's certainly hot.
Right.
Second, you've got a very strong concept, the idea of being crazy in love. Like, I really love that, right? Like, I'm so in love, I'm just head over heels crazy in love.
Right.
It's a good song concept.
That's a little turn of phrase that maybe never existed before that song, but as soon as you hear it, you're like, oh, I know what that feels like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, it had to have always existed, for sure.
Yeah.
And then you've also got this amazing hip-hop break. It's a sort of breakbeat throwback. It feels like a block party in the late 70s, early hip hop, which is totally appropriate because this song is based on a sample of Are You My Woman, Tell Me So by the Chi-Lites from 1970. And I think it would be appropriate to take a listen to that.
Cool. Yeah, I've never heard the roots of this piece.
So immediately you can hear that Congo sample and then boom.
That massive horn section.
Drums come in. And we go somewhere you never thought you would go.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, really different. So the songwriter and producer of Crazy in Love, Rich Harrison, just took this whole song down a few keys and slowed the whole thing down. I tried to imagine what his creative process might have been. This was my attempt at doing the same thing.
Whoa, there we go.
It's amazing just dropping the song down a little bit. Makes it so much hotter.
Funny, yeah.
So I spent a bunch of time listening to this over and over and over, and I think I finally got it. I think I know why this song is so hot, which is a really pretentious thing to say because I think everybody knows that the song is hot, but there's an underlying musical trick here, and it's the same idea of harmonic tension. And it's that the chords of this song are so tense that they reinforce this whole idea of being head over heels crazy in love.
Cool. Okay.
You see, the song starts in the key of D minor, which, of course, according to Spinal Tap, is the saddest of all keys.
In D minor, which I always find is really the saddest of all keys. Really, I don't know why, but it makes people weep instantly to play a...
One of my favorite quotes of all time, absolute digression. This song is also in D minor. Funny to put a love song, a crazy in love song in this key, but it works. I think if we listen to the melody, it's very clear that this song is in D minor. See how that repeating horn line really just sort of puts us in that dark minor key, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, now that you mention it, that is a little surprising for such an effusive love song.
Yeah, I know. So you see what's happening here is that the sample, which is sort of the underlying part of the entire chorus, has this horn line, which makes that sort of D minor feel. Nate, do you want to show us what that sounds like?
Da, 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 da.
Very lovely. However, the chords underneath it actually don't play that D. And instead, they're playing a major B flat and then a G minor going back and forth. Let's just listen to the chorus again and listen to that. So while the melody gives us a sense of landing in D, the chords never do. There's just this constant tension building and building and building. It's the inverse of what Nelly was doing on Hot in Here and what Katy Perry was doing in I Kissed a Girl when they were using this sort of constant bass note that we called a pedal point with chords that then sort of moved over them. Beyoncé is kind of doing the opposite. She is using a constant melody with the chords moving against that melody.
Oh,
and in both
yeah.
cases, you get tension.
Cool. Okay, before you go on, Charlie.
Yeah.
Hot and where?
Her.
Okay, it's the last time I'll make you do that. Please continue.
Oh, man. Why do we even do this? What is this all for?
Wow, that's quite an existential query, Charlie. I'm sorry I made you repeat the title of that Nelly song. Why do we create this harmonic tension? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. We create harmonic tension because we think that we might get some sort of resolution. And so you would think that in this chorus, in Crazy in Love, these chords, which just keep going back and forth, making us feel crazier and crazier and more in that tension, that hot summer heat, that good stuff.
Yeah.
You think that you might get some resolve. Do we? No. We just get oh, 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 oh. Because the verse doesn't have any chords in it. It's just drums and Beyoncé.
Right. I mean, maybe there's a hint of a harmony at the very beginning.
There's a hint, yes. There's a little taste of it.
But I hear you. It's very ambiguous because there's like no harmonic information. There's mainly percussion and these OO vocals. So yeah, it's totally disorienting. It doesn't give you the resolution payoff that you expect after that incredibly tense, drawn-out horn section over those waffling chords.
Yeah. Well, and it didn't have to be this way, right? It could have been written with a lot more resolution. Instead, we get this tension. And we know it could have gone another way because, in fact, Beyoncé remixed this song, actually re-recorded it for the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack and changed the chord progression.
Fascinating. Okay, let's hear this. Wow, that's different.
Right?
And you're right. Now we have this really clear harmonic information. You get Are we still in D minor here?
We're still in D minor, yeah.
And it's clear as day. The piano tells you over and over again.
Yeah, instead of this unresolved craziness, her remixed version has a very dark conclusion. The whole thing sits very firmly in a minor key, which, again, we thought was sort of bizarre for such a effusive love song.
Right.
Which doesn't actually sound dark, right? Like, the song sounds upbeat and happy, the original version, that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably because it's so percussion-based rather than harmonically soaked in that sad D minor, I think that this remixed version sounds more like I'm crazy in love rather than like I'm crazy in love. This is a really dark love.
Whoa, right. Emphasis on crazy, less on love.
Exactly. And you can hear that when she gets to the chorus in the remix version. It is heavy on the crazy.
Hmm.
Not a good love.
Okay, so if I'm with you here, you're arguing that this remix doesn't have that effusive summer fun.
Hardly.
Because it has erased all of the tension, all of the harmonic ambiguity and lack of resolution that we had in the original version.
That's right.
Now the harmonies are clear and resolved, and as a result, it's kind of a downer.
It's a super downer, man, right? I mean, imagine if the original were actually written this way. It would have sounded so much different had there been constant resolution. Again, I think more on the crazy, less on the love.
Right.
I had to go ahead and mash these two up together to see what would have happened. We're thoroughly in the madhouse.
You're diabolical, Charlie.
Yeah, it was really hearing the contrast of these two that I was able to see that, you know, the original has something really special, and that harmonic tension, that lack of resolution, man, it's just really hot. I think I found an Easter egg in this song, by the way.
Please reveal.
Crazy in Love is probably, you know, one of the top Beyoncé tracks of all time.
Certainly.
If you had to just sort of, by straight popularity, say, what would be the top Jay-Z song of all time, what would you suggest?
Big Pimpin', perhaps?
No, not what I'm thinking. Try again.
Mm-hmm. 99 Problems.
99 Problems. Thank you.
Ah, okay. Good, 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 good.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the...
99 Problems and Crazy in Love. Guess what BPM it's at?
I'm not going to guess a number, but I'm going to say the same BPM as 99 Problems.
No, it's at 99.
Oh, even deeper. Whoa.
I just feel like that's so interesting. Like, why go to 99? Like,
you got to stop now, man. The Illuminati conspiracy theorists are going to have a field day with this. Let's just cut the tape before we give them anything more.
That's fine. I've got one more track that I want to play for you, Nate, that I think is just one of the most important pieces from the 2000s. It's a song that just builds and builds and builds and builds as if it's never going to drop.
Charlie, this Switched On Summer Throwback series has been sponsored by Splice, the platform for music creators, and we've slowly been building up to this moment, right? We've released a series of chord progressions, sound packs using Splice sounds, and now it's very exciting. People have taken all those sounds and chords and created their own summer tracks, uploaded them as part of a Splice Firestarter, and now it's our honorable and very difficult job to pick a winner.
So I think what we should do is just count down each of our top three. How's that?
I love it. Why don't you kick it off, Charles?
My nomination for number three is ATM's Firestarter. This is a really fun, breezy house track with a big bass. but also sort of laid back acoustic guitar and distant vocal sample. It's totally unique. Check it out.
Love it. My number three choice is from user Nandi, and it's called Maybe There's Something. And I love this track because at every point, it does exactly what you don't expect it to do.
I'm going to cheat. I've got two number twos.
Oh, all right. We'll give it to you.
All right. So the first is EHG210, who submitted the track I Made This, which is a chiptunes video gamey sound, very Breakmaster Cylinder. And it has this amazing vocal chop that uses the voice of their kids.
So fun.
My other number two is by Lou and Tapley, their track Burn It Up, Summer Heat. It's a really harmonically challenging and sort of interesting build into a chorus that totally surprises you. Get out.
All right, I'm not going to cheat. I only have one number two, and it is from user Cast Yell Prods, Summer in Your Eyes. Charlie, this one is kind of unique because it doesn't change at all, and yet it is so funky and has the most killingest sax sample.
Cool. That leads to our number one winner. Drum roll, please.
Our number one pick is from user Team JLex Forever. It's I'm Your Guy Tonight by Slow Dance.
This is a true pop hit. It has got really fun vocals. It has got an amazing hook. We should just play it.
Indeed. Oh man, Charlie, the 80s drums, these lyrics that explore the queer dating experience and trying to approach someone in the club and not knowing if they're queer as well. I mean, I think this has got that mixture of joy and melancholy that you look for in a summer track.
It's really beautiful. And I particularly like it because it took the source material, these chords and sounds that we made, and totally recontextualized them, right? If you listen to the chord progression that you did, the marcher, I think it's called.
The Macher, Charlie, that's Yiddish, and you get a pass because you're a WASP, but let's not let it happen again.
In any case, it's totally redone. It doesn't sound anything like the original, but it's such an awesome way of taking something as a place of inspiration and adding this beautiful 80s sound design.
Yeah. We have to say one other thing, which is this entry does something that we've discussed on the show, right? In the episode about Charlie Puth's Boy Downbeat Displacement.
Yes, definitely. It reminds me a lot of that Puth track in a really good way.
So cool. So smart. Number one with a bullet is I'm Your Guy Tonight by Slow Dance. And don't worry, we're going to play the whole track at the end of the episode so you can get your summer fix.
All of our Song of Summer competition with Splice is available at splice.com/onpop. You can get the chords, you can get the pack, you can get a free month of Splice sounds with promo code onpop, and you can see all of the entries into the Firestarter competition. Again, that's splice.com/onpop, and stick around to the end of the episode to hear the full version of our winning track.
Okay, last piece in our Song of Summer series. A song that just builds up and seems to never end.
Wow, Charlie, you have taken us from Crazy in Love to I Got a Feeling, and I have to say, I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Oh, I Got a Feeling, the Black Eyed Peas 2009 track, actually produced by David Guetta, which was unsurprising as soon as you saw that. You're like, yeah, this is an EDM track.
Right.
It was on the Billboard charts for 14 weeks and was an overwhelming hit. I'm not sure if it was so much a club anthem as much as it might have been a bar mitzvah bash. Oh, fill up my cup, drink, mazel tov. Nonetheless, it certainly has a lot of tension. It keeps growing. It was a smash. It was a summer hit. And you sound skeptical, yeah?
As with so many songs on this show, once we break it down, I'm sure I'll come away having the exact opposite opinion. But yeah, I mean, this song to me is like the dark side of Crazy in Love. It's one of those summer hits that is inescapable in a way that felt sort of oppressive to me.
I think that inescapable is a perfect way of framing it, because this song just repeats itself over and over. And in fact, it takes a minute and 30 seconds for it to land on the chorus, which is an absurdly long intro. It just keeps growing and building and building. And really, I should have started the whole thing listening to the very top of the song, because that's where the tension begins.
Cool.
I think this is a really successful chord progression. You never want to stop hearing it. It just keeps on going, and elements get added in an almost sort of like Pachelbel's Canon way. We get some strings, and then later on we get a guitar, we get some really auto-tuned vocals, and the build just builds and on top of the build, and it just keeps on building.
Yeah, I hear you. It is an interesting chord progression. It's long, for one.
Yeah.
It's very circuitous, too. It doesn't begin and end where you expect. Okay, I'm already coming around. All right.
So we started this Song of Summer series talking about that Nelly track, which I will not say again because I've embarrassed myself plenty.
You're a good sport, Charles.
But it used a technique of using really dissonant, challenging chords that were kind of out of the key to create tension. And here, Guetta and the Black Eyed Peas are doing the exact opposite. They are using the simplest possible thing, just a two-note chord, which actually isn't really a chord at all, where the bottom note is staying the same and the top note is moving around. And it's this simplicity, which I think is actually creating tension. We're going to listen to it and then we're going to figure out why it works.
Cool.
So it starts consonant in our home key of G, but then it starts to move away after just a few beats. It implies other harmonies, E minor and C, and it takes a full 8 measures of music to finally wrap back around to our home key of G, but only long enough to set up that tension once again and keep on repeating.
Wow. This is blowing my mind, Charlie, because I did not realize how simple this chord progression is, just composed of two notes, and one of them doesn't even move.
Yep.
That's called a dyad, by the way.
Yes.
And if it's not too far-fetched, I think we could make a connection between this chord progression,
yeah,
where you have two notes, one of them staying the same and one of them moving.
Mm-hmm.
That is the exact same technique as, I wouldn't call it a summer jam exactly, but that's exactly what happens in Chopsticks.
Really? Yeah.
It's literally the same thing. You play two notes, one of them stays the same, one of them moves. That's Chopsticks. Simple, classic.
This is a really underhanded compliment.
I mean, is it though? Because Chopsticks has proven to be one of the most enduring, yeah, piano compositions.
No doubt. Absolutely. And I would actually argue that had they instead filled in the entire chord, not just played this dyad, that it would not have been as successful. Not as good, right?
Right. So now we've got these three-note chords, a little fuller,
yep,
a little richer.
I think that harmonic tension is happening here, not through a density of things, but actually from a lack of information. And that by playing only these dyads, just these two notes, you're missing that third, middle, important, essential note. We're left needing to fill in that information with our ear. The tension is actually coming from the emptiness of us striving to hear, wait, what chord is this? What's actually going on there? And that simplicity and that constant filling in that extra note with our brain constantly wants us to keep looping back around. It maintains that tension. It makes the summer jam. That's my theory.
I'm buying it. I think you're right. I mean, will this song make it onto my summer 2018 playlist? I can't say, but I do have a little more begrudging respect for it now. So well played, Chuck.
Thanks, man. I think it would be appropriate to do a summer in review wrap-up of all of these different methods that we heard that make harmonic tension, that make that feeling of heat. So we started with Nelly. We got chromatic dissonance with chords and an underlying pedal point.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, in Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl, we got that pedal point, but in this case, not such dissonant chords, in fact, rising chords that were in the key, but still a lot of tension. And then we had our non-resolving chord progression with a constant melody line that kept us in a single key in Beyoncé's Crazy in Love.
Whew, can't take the tension, Charlie. Can't stand the heat.
Just keeps going, keeps on going. And of course, we just heard it, but you know, it's such a good build. It's nearly as good as Chopsticks. We have to hear it one more time. Those empty two-note dyads that ask us to fill in the extra information, creating a missing tension in I Got a Feeling. I feel like I need to make a little disclaimer. It's not as if that every song which uses harmonic tension is a summer jam, but these ones just really stuck out in a particular way, doing it in a way which I hadn't heard that made that tense feeling, that made it feel hot. I'm sure you could do something which makes it feel cool, but I got to put it together in some way. This is what I'm hearing.
No, I love it. I'm sold, Charlie, and I think it's a brilliant way to close out our summer throwback series.
Switched on Pop is produced by me, Charlie Harding.
And me, Nate Sloan.
Our show is mixed and edited by Bill Lance, designed by Luke Harris, and we're a proud member of the Panoply Network.
You can find more episodes at switchedonpop.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or any other podcast player you prefer.
You can reach out to us on Twitter at switchedonpop. We love answering your musical questions. You can also catch us on email, contact@switchedonpop.com. We'll be back again with more fresh episodes of new pop music broken down into bite-sized little yummy nuggets in 2 weeks. And until then, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Remember, do I look alright? Give me a sign that I'm yours.